Great. Wasn't that awesome, eh? I don't know. I just, like, before the service started, there was so much chaos going on. There was so much movement, so much noise. It was just a weird Sunday for me. And then I just felt like the presence of God just came in. And I just, like, okay, I can breathe. It's great. I'm loving it. I don't know. Do you guys feel the same like that? Like, you just feel chilled out, like resting? I'm feeling like that. I'm going to be talking about something that is very much on my heart. It's the topic of intimacy, and what does it mean to be intimate? We talk about intimacy, and we talk about intimacy in a marriage context, intimate with friends, intimate with parents, intimate with God, our Father. And intimacy is one of those things that God is very much interested in, okay? It's great to pray for people to get healed. It's fantastic. I believe it's part of God's heart. It's fantastic to pray for people to become free from depression. I believe it's God's heart. But God wants to be intimate with us. I'm going to start off with this scripture, and just to sort of reiterate, Matthew 7, verse 21, 23. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me over there. I'm going to start off with this. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy on your name?'" Prophecy is a good thing, yes. Good, prophecy, yeah, great. Okay, "Did we not cast out demons in your name?" It's a good thing to cast out demons, right? Yeah, fantastic. You do good. "Did we not do many works in your mighty name, Jesus?" And listen to this. Jesus saying, "And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" It's great to serve. It's great to pack out the cups for coffee. It's great to pray for people to get healed. What God is interested in is your heart. He wants to know you. That is what will count. It's not the amount of people that you've prayed for. God's going to ask, "Do I know you? I've got your attention," yes? Intimacy. And it's not this, misunderstanding that this knowledge, this knowing God, is not a knowledge about God. There are many people who know their Bible very well. They know about God very well. They've listened to a lot of sermons on YouTube, so they've heard a lot about God. This know is the same know that Jesus used, that is used in the biblical sense when, in Genesis, when it says that Adam knew Eve. There was an intimacy that is involved. And the word know. Do you know God intimately? Do you know how he feels about you? Do you know how he feels about the lost? I can tell you that God is good, because the word says that God is good. Okay? I can tell you that God is just, because the word says that God is just. I can tell you that God is holy. I can tell you that he commands you to be holy as he is holy. But the question is, do you know God? Do you know how he feels about people that are unsaved? Do you know how he feels about you? Do you understand? Do you know his heart? This is what we got to get to today. Okay, so I'm gonna make this very practical. I don't want to be very cryptic. And I want to stay on the same theme that, in the same heart that Hendry started with this, leaving the 99 to go look after the one. Do we know that about God? Do we know his heart for us? Okay, so I want you to turn into groups of five or six. And there's two questions up there that I want you to discuss in these groups. The next page, please. The first question is, how do you get to know someone? Okay, so you meet someone in church, how did you meet your girlfriend/wife/friend slash boyfriend or whatever, how did you get to know them? What was the process that was involved? What entailed, what? How did you know that, okay, I know her now, but I know her now even better, okay? And then what is the difference between an acquaintance? I know your name. I know that you like chocolate ice cream. What is the difference between an acquaintance and a friend? We are walking a journey together. What is, okay, I've just given like half of the answer for you, okay? So get into groups of five or six, discuss these two questions. Go for it. Go, go, go. You guys have got 5 minutes. Okay. You can start finishing up. Let's get one or two people to... Okay, let's get three people. Marius, I'm going to pick on you today. You can come up front to give feedback. No, Okay. Offspring, come. Okay, you have to give feedback. Let's get Uncle Philip. You can also give some feedback. It's too late now. Uncle Philip, and let's get somebody from this side. Let's go for Benrico. Thanks, man. Benrico. Okay, let's get one more lady. Okay, Jubilee, you can also come give some feedback about what your group discussed. Okay. You guys can listen. Okay. Feedback. What did your group discuss?
Okay, ons het gesê jy leer iemand ken deur jouself voor te oh shit, Engels. What is it? I think my Engels is swak. Okay. Jy stel jouself voor en dan soos vra hulle lewe ensovoorts. En dan die verskil is 'n acquaintance is nou net iemand wat jy ken, soos jy ken hulle naam, jy weet van hulle, maar 'n vriend is iemand waarmee jy 'n verhouding is en soos jy praat oor goed van die lewe.
Okay, I'm English, so I didn't understand that either. Okay, great. Jubilee, what did your group say?
Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Yes. Okay, my group said, how do you get to know someone? Introduction, right? You introduce yourself. Get to know them like that, right? And you have to agree with me. Come on, church. Yes! And what is the difference between an acquaintance and a friend? Actually, acquaintance is someone you say hi, and you smile, and you go on with your business, right? And a friend is someone who you can actually rely on. Call anytime and they won't complain. Ask for their help and they will be available, and etc. Yes.
Okay. How do you get to know someone through coffee dates? What is the difference between an acquaintance and a friend? Acquaintance, you don't have a relationship with. A friend, you have a relationship with. So, yeah.
One of the first things that we did when we came together as a group was to introduce ourselves to each other because we didn't know each other's names. So that was a wonderful way of saying, well, how do we get to know you? Let's get to know each other's names. And then a couple of points came out of the group, very profound. Number one, there has to be trust. If you want to know somebody, you've got to learn to trust them. And if there's going to be knowledge of somebody, you need to spend time with them. There's a time factor. So And then another point came out about acquaintances, and acquaintances are people that you have almost like an introduction to somebody, but you want to take it a step further. So an acquaintance, you don't want to leave it in that domain. So then you take time, you move into a realm where you take, where you start taking extra effort to go out and look that person up. So that's what our group concluded with. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Uncle. Okay, great. My brother would say a friend would be out of jail, a best friend would be in jail with you. Okay. All right, guys. Sorry, you can turn your chairs around if you want. We're going to continue with the message. So getting to know someone is very simple. Sometimes it's just going, hello, hello, my name is Luke. What's your name?
Anelma.
How's it, Anelma? What do you do for a living? She works for Master Maths. She is Master Maths in George. She is the Master of Maths. Sometimes it just starts like that. Getting to know somebody and getting to know God, it is that simple. It's just making a time for somebody and saying, hey God, I want to get to know you. Would you please reveal yourself to me? Okay, what the Word of God teaches us is that if we ask for bread, we get a stone. No. If we ask for bread, he does not give us a stone. Right, he is a good God. He's a giver of good gifts. When we ask him for his presence, when we ask, God, I want to know you. Show yourself to me. Reveal yourself to me. He is a giver of good gifts, and he is faithful to reveal himself. Okay, but it's easy to pray those things if we do not apply ourselves. This requires discipline. Discipline, the swear word of the modern church. Okay. But we will persevere. Okay, so how do we get to know God? Number one, how do we get to know God? Through the Word of God. Almost saying Jesus at the back. That's the right answer, Almost. Thanks. Okay, God gave you his Word. It is a letter written to you. You've heard this metaphor before. Okay, so Hebrews 4 verse 12. Anybody knows? Can anybody turn to there? Hebrews 4 verse 12. We're starting this radical new thing where we bring our Bibles to church. It's radical. It's going to change the world. So please bring your Bibles to church. Somebody turn to Hebrews 4, chapter 12. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 12. That one. I'm just testing you guys. Is somebody there? Hebrews 4. Who? Jubilee, are you there? Nama, are you there?
For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Great. Okay, so the word of God is living. It is active. Okay, it has the power to discern that which I hold on to from the world, and it has the power to discern something which is eternal, something that has the power to create something eternal. Okay, I love the scripture. It talks about, says it is piercing to the division of the soul and the spirit. The Word of God is alive and active, just as applicable as it was in New Testament times. It is applicable now. Okay, it is relevant to our life. If you want to get to know God, okay, the Word of God is where it starts. Okay, if you're taking notes, I hope you're taking notes. I want you to go tomorrow morning, open up your Bible, and go look at the things that I'm talking about. Is what I'm talking about matching up to the Word of God? Does it make sense? Okay, you mustn't just believe everything that comes from my mouth, okay? I expect you to go read the Word of God. I expect you to go find out from yourself. If you're watching a clip on YouTube, it's fantastic, awesome resources on the internet, but you are responsible for the well-being of your own soul. Go and open up the Word of God. Find out for yourself. Okay? My people die for a lack of knowledge. Okay? Deception comes when we don't read the Word of God. Don't take everything I say as biblical. It's not. Okay? I hope that I'm speaking biblically, but I am not a gospel writer. Go write down what I'm saying. You are responsible for your own salvation. Look it up in the morning. Is Luke telling the truth? Is the information that Luke gave me, is it going to improve my relationship with God? If it's not, I better go have a coffee with him and tell him my problems. No, you can't actually. I'm very sensitive. No, I'm joking. Okay. But for reals, okay? And if you find something, hey, Luke, this you said this, but it doesn't, but I read the Word of God and it says this, okay? Then I also learn. If a friend of yours says something that doesn't line up with the Word of God, okay, take the Word of God to him, have a discussion, both of you grow, okay? Both of you learn something more about God, okay? We've got to understand that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture comes from God. Okay, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17. Somebody want to turn there for me? It's up on the Bible. 2 Timothy, let's do it. 3, verse 16 to 17. And Alma, you can't do it again. Laura's going to read it. Oh, Ben Rico's got it. I like Ben Rico.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Okay, thoroughly equipped for good work. Who wants to be thoroughly equipped for every good work? That sounds like a good thing, right? Yeah? Okay, I would like to do... not just an average job, I'd like to do a good job at everything. The Word of God is acceptable for all of that. It's acceptable for correction. Going to somebody and saying, hey, listen, the way that you talk to your mother is not acceptable. The Word of God says, honor your mother and your father so that you can get a lot of money. No, so that you can live a long life. That was a test. Come on, guys. Okay. This is going to be a very short sermon because it's going to be very simple, okay? What is the second way that you can get to know God? Prayer. Thank you. Okay, Psalm 145 verse 18. Somebody turn there. Come on, quickly. 145 verse 18. Go. If you got it, stick up your hand. Okay, Gara, thank you. When do you start varsity?
That's nice. Only 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
I just want to see what translation this is. What is this? ESV. Okay. Does somebody have a different translation for me? NKJV, GBG, yeah. The Lord is near to all those who call upon, to those who call upon, in truth, okay? Somebody else, different translation. What translation is this? Afrikaans, read it.
No, it's a different book. I'm reading in a different book.
Okay, he doesn't want to read in Afrikaans. What translation have you got? No, we just had an NKJV. What, and you? Okay, I don't know, NLT?
The Lord is close to all who call on him. Yes, to all who call on him in truth.
Okay, great. So the Lord is close to all of those are close in truth. Call on him in truth. Okay, why am I asking for different translations? Why is that important? Okay, did you know that English is not the original language of the Bible? Okay? Contrary to popular belief, it's actually Afrikaans. No, that's not true. Okay. The Bible is a translation of many different languages, okay? To be a good student of the Bible, it is recommended. See, the Lord agrees with me. It is recommended that you have at least three different kinds of translations. So when I read, I've got a NIV, which I just enjoy for casual reading. If I really want to go deep into the word with its meanings, with its translation, I read an ESV, okay? And I also have a New King James Version because it's got a really good concordance. But the reason why I read three different translations is because sometimes things get lost in translation. Okay, so I'm not going to go preach about a scripture where a specific translation suits my point of view. Okay, so when I do a sermon and I read a scripture and it sounds, oh, this sounds great in the NIV. NIV is good for reading, but it's not as accurate as an ESV. Then what I do is I go read an ESV or something else to compare the translations. Okay. I'm going off on a tangent. Get different translations. That is the main point. Okay, so prayer. You understand that you have access to the presence of God as you sit right here. Okay? So the power of Jesus Christ, when before Jesus died on the cross, okay, if you wanted to atone for your sin, you had to wait for the Day of Atonement. It happened once every year. You had to bring all your various animals and grains to the temple, and they would sacrifice things. And there was one person, the high priest, who was allowed to go into the presence of a God once a year. And what they'd do is they'd actually tie a rope around his ankle. So if he went into the temple of God and there was some sort of sin in his life and he hadn't cleansed himself properly, then he'd actually be struck dead on the spot. So, and then they tied a rope around his ankle so they could pull him out. Okay? So there was one person in the whole of the world that could go into the presence of God once a year. Okay? And this is the amazing thing about what Jesus did. Okay? When he came and he paid for every single sin that you and I have done or will ever do. Okay? The Bible teaches us that the veil which separates the most holy of holy places in the temple of God to the outside of the world, okay, this veil was torn in half. And we now have access to the presence of God 24/7, okay, 365 days a year. So instead of going through a mediator, an earthly mediator, we still have a mediator, him being Jesus Christ, instead of going through a earthly mediator, the high priest, once a year. Okay? If I mess up, I can pray to God and say, hey, God, please forgive me. He is faithful to forgive. That's it. But God, I really need your help with my family. Can you please help me to have more wisdom in the way that I deal with my family? God, can you please share with me your heart for the homeless in George? Can you please give me a strategy to help the homeless in George? He is faithful to respond. You have access to him. Don't cheapen that presence that God has given you, that presence that Jesus Christ has given you. He paid the ultimate price so that we can sit here and do nothing. No, he paid the ultimate price. Okay, so that you could have access to the presence of God, so that you could change the world, so that people through you, through your sacrifice, through you picking up your own cross, can come to the realization of who Jesus Christ. Amen? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18. I'll read this myself. We're going to finish off just now. 1 Thessalonians 5, Okay, it says here, rejoice always without, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. This is the will in all circumstances in Christ Jesus for you, okay? If you're one of those people that are asking, God, what is the will that you have for my life? This is the answer, okay? What is the will? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. There's a scripture I want to close off with. In John 17, verse 3, you can read it. So it says, Jesus, he's praying in the garden of Gethsemane, and he prays this very long prayer to God. Go read this prayer. It's an amazing. John, the whole of John 17, this prayer that Jesus prays. And he prays for us. And in this prayer, he says, and this is a massive revelation. He says, this is eternal life. Okay, I don't know if you've ever thought about heaven. You know, there are parts that say that the roads are paved with gold. There are parts that talk about a seven-star hotel. Not its rating is seven. There are literally like seven stars that hang over this hotel, which is pretty cool. There's this wonderful place. We're all going to get a mansion. It's fantastic. When Jesus talks about heaven for him, this is eternal life, that they may know you. He's praying to God that they may know you, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That is eternal life. Okay? And my prayer for each one of you, okay, is that you go tomorrow morning, you take what I've said, and I want you to ask God, God, is this matching with what you say? Is this lining up with who I know you to be? God, is who I know you to be lining up with Scripture? God, I want to know you. Do you know that God is a good God? Okay? He's not a Chinese yin-yang God. There's a lot of Christians who believe that God is this, you got to take some with the good, take some with the bad. You know, if one day he's going to give you a car, the other day he's going to strike you with lightning. Okay? We don't believe in a yin-yang God. The Bible says that God is good. Full stop. Do you know God like this? Or do you know God to be this dude who cracks his whip when I do something wrong? Okay? And I've met people that say something like this. They say, I don't want to do something for fear of disappointing God. Okay, but I understand the statement, but what I'm hearing is I believe that God is somebody who gets disappointed in me when I mess up. Okay, that he's always just waiting for me to screw up, to mess up, to fail. And then it's, it's just a disappointment. Do you know that God loves you as his son, as his daughter, that he's paid a price to be in relationship with you? Do you know God like this? My challenge for you is to spend time in the Word of God. Spend time praying to God. Ask him, God, please reveal yourself. Please reveal your heart to me. Because something that I'm going to be doing more often than I have done in the past, I will be doing, but sometimes people come and talk to me and they say, Luke, I've got this problem, I've got this problem, I've got this problem. So, okay, that's great. When last did you have a quiet time? 3 weeks ago. Okay, this conversation is great, but you first need to go have a quiet time. I'm not your savior. Okay, Jesus is your savior. Go talk to Jesus. Do you know that Jesus can deal with any of your problems? Do you know that? Great, go talk to him. There are people that come and say, Luke, I've got this problem, I've got this problem, I've got this problem. Okay, great. When did you talk to God? This morning. And he said this to me, and this to me. I said, great, I can work with this. Let's pray about what God is talking to you about. We're not going to pray about what I'm going to talk to you about. And this is the culture that we need to develop. Not people that know Luke very well, and know that Luke's got a good opinion about everything, and he's so wise and majestic. But we need to cultivate a culture where when things go wrong, we turn each other towards God. This is God's solution. This is what God says. This is what the Word of God says. This is not what Amos says. This is not what Luke says. This is what the Word of God says. This is the culture that we need. This is the culture that is going to change the world. The Word of God is good for all good works. It's good enough for all good works. Do you understand that? So if we want to do all those good works, we need to know the Word of God. We need to know the author of that Word. Does that make sense? I'm going to ask the band to come up. Let's stand up, please.